Don't tell me to stop. Tell the rain not to drop. Tell me everything I'm not. Don't tell me to stop. Hi, this is Liz Wright. You're listening to WBAI in New York.
Live from New York City, it's The Gary Knoll Show.
Your love lifted me higher.
And now, your host, Gary Knoll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. Once again, here to share empowering information. We're going to talk about matcha tea, lycopene, exercise-induced metabolic benefits. The rhythm of breathing is the key to controlling fear and emotional behavior. A study finds a loss of menin helps drive the aging process. So how do we get it back? I'll talk about that. And common dry cleaning chemicals are linked to Parkinson's. And new information just about 5 minutes ago about a new cause, a major cause of Alzheimer's from the top number one holistic dentist in America, Dr. Elmira Goodall. So we have a lot to share just in the health segment, but even more after that. We begin with, and again, everything I choose is based upon peer-reviewed literature. Everything comes from the Library of Medicine, so it's orthodox. And this is the irony for those, and we have a lot of new listeners, by the way, around the world. Earlier in my career, when I would go out and debate on health issues, it was always, well, you're not a medical doctor, so you're not the authority. And yet the medical doctor had no background in human nutrition. Nothing in environmentalism. And I was an environmentalist, with the banning of DDT, helped lead that movement based upon the great work of the woman who really started the environmental movement in the United States. And
stay tuned. I have created a glitch. Hold on.
Don't tell me to stop. Tell the rain not to drop. Tell me everything I'm not. Don't tell me to stop.
Hi, this is Liz Wright. You're listening to WBAI in New York.
Orthodox science and medicine. It's just one of those secrets, but it's there. So, for example, from the Kumamoto University in Japan, and that, by the way, they're talking about... Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. This is the Progressive Commentary Hour. Our theme today, what was hidden from the world public concerning COVID? What role did Anthony Fauci, the World Health Organization, members of the scientific community associated with Anthony Fauci, the U.S. Public Health Service, Dr. Collins, the FDA, the CDC, and the media play in this? There's one person that I believed in this exclusive interview has these answers. He is a scholar. He is an MD, board certified in cardiology. He is a PhD in a form of physics in the molecular sense. He is also a lawyer. He's a jurist. As a result, he is known for his scholarship. So when he says something, he's not just giving you his random opinion. If that's the case, he will so identify. This is just my subjective opinion. But what if he has facts that others don't? What if he can show us a part of this whole propaganda scheme that everyone else missed, or at least most people missed? There are people who were the pro-vaccine, even received the vaccine themselves, like Dr. Malone. There were people who promoted initially the vaccine, like Dr. McCullough. These are good people. These are courageous scientists. But they're more known for doing early intervention, meaning getting the treatment that they believe would work to their patients at the first sign of conditions. For example, when a patient arrived and they had some form of pulmonary condition, they would use their skills and all the medical science says, here's what you do for this particular type of pulmonary condition, or heart condition, or clotting condition, or embolism. Now, every doctor in America, that's more or less 900,000, had the opportunity to do the same. So when they started using long ago approved and well tolerated by the body, safe and effective drugs such as hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, monoclonal antibodies, different steroids, some antibiotics, but also vitamin D3, vitamin C, quercetin, and zinc, they had remarkable results. One clinic alone had 10,000 patients who were treated early with this protocol and survived and thrived. Four of their patients came in late, meaning they didn't start the protocol for a couple of weeks and they died. Also, the media in unison were talking with the same points being presented. This is just a horse dewormer. Don't use it. It's toxic. And then the state medical boards that have never had an in-depth investigative report done on them stepped in and threatened doctors. If you use any of these drugs, we'll take away your license. And indeed, they have done exactly that with many doctors, or threatened to, or have other doctors tied up in very expensive long-term litigation at the state level. So here is one doctor who's been through everything. Dr. Fleming is going to now lay out the case. But Dr. Fleming, nice to have you with us today. Before you get started, I want to play you a clip from yesterday from CNN and Acosta interviewing Dr. Fauci. And I want the audience to hear carefully how Fauci is trying to persuade the host, and hence the CNN audience, all five people who watch CNN, that this had to have come from nature, could not have come from a lab, because all the top scientists signed a letter and which was published in The Lancet, showing it could not have come from a lab. But you have a different story. I want you to deconstruct everything Fauci says with facts. The forum is yours. Now we go to the clip.
You know, Jim, I've kept an open mind throughout the entire process. What has changed over months to a year or more is what I mentioned a bit ago, namely that as evolutionary virologists went into this deeper and deeper and analyzed it from a number of standpoints, epidemiologically, virologically, geospatially, they wrote two very important, well-written, peer-reviewed papers in Science magazine strongly suggesting that, in fact, it was a natural occurrence from an animal to a human. But strongly suggesting, Jim, doesn't nail it down definitively. And that's the reason why I say to this day, I will keep a completely open mind as to what the origin is. So one of the things that people maybe don't fully appreciate, that all of the intelligence agencies agree unanimously that this was not engineered. Namely, they didn't deliberately do this to make a bioweapon. Everybody agrees with that. No matter what your prior thoughts were, everybody agrees with that. A lab leak could be that someone was out in the wild, maybe looking for different types of viruses in bats, got infected, went into a lab, and was being studied in the lab, and then it came out of the lab. But if that's the definition of a lab leak, Jim, then that still is a natural occurrence. The other possibility is someone takes a virus from the environment that doesn't actually spread very well in humans and manipulates it a bit, and accidentally it escapes or accidentally infects someone, and then you get an outbreak. Those are the possibilities when you're talking about lab leaks.
But are there any accounts of that occurring where one might say, okay, well, there we go. Perhaps this is it. This is what happened.
No.
That you're aware of.
In fact, there are no lab leaks that have led to pandemics. So there have been accidents in a lab that happens intermittently. We've had experiences with that in modern times recently. But there have never been a situation where a virus escaped from a lab that's a brand new virus that no one has ever seen before that led to a pandemic. That has not happened.
Okay, that sounds reasonable. Sounds plausible. End of story. No. What if I made this comment and then ask you to fill in the blanks? Is it possible that Dr. Fauci, in late-night phone calls, that, by the way, the Senate, the House committee has, unredacted, where he is talking with his top scientist, who say that it is likely coming from the lab, and they're all concerned about it, and then 3 days later, suddenly they turn around and change 180 degrees and now say, no, it had to have come from nature. And then, oh, by the way, there were tens of millions of dollars given to these individuals in grants thereafter. I'm guessing it's just a coincidence. Those things happen, right? And is it also possible that Fauci orchestrated all these people coming together to write the article or the letter stating that it had to come from nature and could not have possibly come, and he was actually the author of the article and now is citing his own authored article, but his name is not on the article, but he was the moving force behind it. Is that possible?
Well, let's strip apart everything that Anthony Fauci just did during the interview. Let's begin with the concept that there's never been a lab leak of a pathogen. That's blatantly false. We know that the H5N1 got loose from a lab. We know that SARS-CoV-1 got loose from a lab. All of these, there's five or six major lab leaks over the last decade or so that's already published, and I've already put it on FlemingMethod.com and presented it several times, laying out the concern and fear that has happened as a result of lab leaks. We know that when Obama shut down gain of function at the direction and insistence of scientists, not himself, but scientists, that this was the result of lab leaks that had occurred on gain of function viruses. Let's look at the fact that he's talking about all the intelligence agencies say that this is just a naturally occurring thing. Well, that's not what the FBI or the Department of Energy is currently saying. And that's not what the U.S. Congress is currently picking up. Let's look at his statement that he has an open mind, because his emails, as you just pointed out, and his conversations showed within a matter of a week that he was out there frantically trying to get people to shift their perspective, like people like Anderson, the virologist, to shift from a lab leak to naturally occurring. Let's look at his statement where he says, well, if they went and they got it from viruses and brought it into the lab and something happened, that wouldn't be a problem. Yes, it is. Under 18 USC section 175, it very specifically states that if people take an outside virus, bring it into a lab and modify it in such a way that it can infect human beings, that is a violation of federal law. Let's look at where the monies came from. The Department of Defense, the National Institutes of Allergies and Infectious Diseases, Anthony Fauci's agency, the National Science Foundation, the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Commerce, the Department of the Interior, and the Department of Agriculture. All of these agencies spent tens of millions of dollars that we laid out and we tracked, placed it on in is COVID-19 a bioweapon, a scientific and forensic investigation, so that the readers can go look at it, take their time, see that the monies came from our federal agencies, to Barrick and Daszak and Chi-Zing Lee, in addition to the University of Wisconsin and Iowa, Nebraska, and Texas Galveston, and other agencies to conduct gain-of-function research to make viruses more infective and more harmful. Let's look at the fact that Chi-Zing
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. This is the Progressive Commentary Hour. Our theme today, what was hidden from the world public concerning COVID? What role did Anthony Fauci, the World Health Organization, members of the scientific community associated with Anthony Fauci, the U.S. Public Health Service, Dr. Collins, the FDA, the CDC, and the media play in this? There's one person that I believed in this exclusive interview has these answers. He is a scholar. He is an MD, board certified in cardiology. He is a PhD in a form of physics in the molecular sense. He is also a lawyer. He's a jurist. As a result, he is known for his scholarship. So when he says something, he's not just giving you his random opinion. If that's the case, he will so identify. This is just my subjective opinion. But what if he has facts that others don't? What if he can show us a part of this whole propaganda scheme that everyone else missed, or at least most people missed? There are people who were the pro-vaccine, even received the vaccine themselves, like Dr. Malone. There were people who promoted initially the vaccine, like Dr. McCullough. These are good people. These are courageous scientists. But they're more known for doing early intervention, meaning getting the treatment that they believe would work to their patients at the first sign of conditions. For example, when a patient arrived and they had some form of pulmonary condition, they would use their skills and all the medical science says, here's what you do for this particular type of pulmonary condition, or heart condition, or clotting condition, or embolism. Now, every doctor in America, that's more or less 900,000, had the opportunity to do the same. So when they started using long ago approved and well tolerated by the body, safe and effective drugs such as hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, monoclonal antibodies, different steroids, some antibiotics, but also vitamin D3, vitamin C, quercetin, and zinc, they had remarkable results. One clinic alone had 10,000 patients who were treated early with this protocol and survived and thrived. Four of their patients came in late, meaning they didn't start the protocol for a couple of weeks and they died. Also, the media in unison were talking with the same points being presented. This is just a horse dewormer. Don't use it. It's toxic. And then the state medical boards that have never had an in-depth investigative report done on them stepped in and threatened doctors. If you use any of these drugs, we'll take away your license. And indeed, they have done exactly that with many doctors, or threatened to, or have other doctors tied up in very expensive long-term litigation at the state level. So here is one doctor who's been through everything. Dr. Fleming is going to now lay out the case. But Dr. Fleming, nice to have you with us today. Before you get started, I want to play you a clip from yesterday from CNN and Acosta interviewing Dr. Fauci. And I want the audience to hear carefully how Fauci is trying to persuade the host, and hence the CNN audience, all five people who watch CNN, that this had to have come from nature, could not have come from a lab, because all the top scientists signed a letter, and which was published in The Lancet, showing it could not have come from a lab. But you have a different story. I want you to deconstruct everything Fauci says with facts. The forum is yours. Now we go to the clip.
You know, Jim, I've kept an open mind throughout the entire process. What has changed over months to a year or more is what I mentioned a bit ago, namely that as evolutionary virologists went into this deeper and deeper and analyzed it from a number of standpoints, epidemiologically, virologically, geospatially, they wrote two very important, well-written, peer-reviewed papers in Science magazine strongly suggesting that in fact it was a natural occurrence from an animal to a human. But strongly suggesting, Jim, doesn't nail it down definitively, And that's the reason why I say to this day, I will keep a completely open mind as to what the origin is. So one of the things that people maybe don't fully appreciate, that all of the intelligence agencies agree unanimously that this was not engineered. Namely, they didn't deliberately do this to make a bioweapon. Everybody agrees with that. No matter what your prior thoughts were, everybody agrees with that. A lab leak could be that someone was out in the wild, maybe looking for different types of viruses in bats, got infected, went into a lab, and was being studied in the lab, and then it came out of the lab. But if that's the definition of a lab leak, Jim, then that still is a natural occurrence. The other possibility is someone takes a virus from the environment that doesn't actually spread very well in humans and manipulates it a bit, and accidentally it escapes or accidentally infects someone, and then you get an outbreak. Those are the possibilities when you're talking about lab leaks.
But are there any accounts of that occurring where one might say, okay, well, there we go. Perhaps this is it. This is what happened.
No.
That you're aware of.
In fact, there are no lab leaks that have led to pandemics. So there have been accidents in a lab.
Into the state attorney generals, or we will be rolling up our sleeves for more genetic vaccines, because since October, there have been five new genetic vaccines released, one for cancer, which isn't even a single disease. And the movie I Am Legend went over this. One for cancer, one for cystic fibrosis, one for amyloidosis of the heart. Amazingly enough, one of the diseases caused by these viruses and vaccines, one for influenza, and one for respiratory syncytial virus, primarily for children. And on February 28th, the FDA already received a report addressing the Pfizer genetic vaccine for respiratory syncytial virus, that the older people were getting blood clots in their legs, the children were getting neurologic disease beyond Bray syndrome, and there was more than 50 deaths already reported. 53, I believe, was the number that was quoted, but more than 50 deaths already reported in a vaccine that's been tested in over 40,000 volunteers. Americans will either roll up their sleeve, go to 10letters.org, put pressure on the attorney general, support for the ones who want to hold these criminals accountable, and point out the cowards and put pressure on the cowardly AGs who haven't done anything and would prefer, like mainstream media and CNN, to hide their head in the sand. But Americans are dying in greater numbers than we've lost military troops. There's not a single American I know of who has not been affected, who doesn't know somebody closely in their family or friends, not to mention the damage to our families, our society, our structure, our economy, everything we've had as a nation. And everything that the world looked at the United States to be, to hold for the truth and to hold criminals accountable, everything is on the line.
I appreciate your input. I would like to offer just one legitimate challenge. You stated that the VERA system, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which is voluntary. We have had dozens of nurses and physicians, emergency room physicians in particular, who have stated that they have not filled these out because they were told not to or because it was too cumbersome. And Dr. Jessica Rose from Israel has done one of the most comprehensive articles with a colleague, and she has a background PhD in the area, and she said that the real number of deaths is closer to 600,000. There's two other studies, one Columbia, showing somewhere between 200 and 400,000. And this is based upon Harvard University study showing that only 1 to 2% of all adverse events and deaths are ever reported. So if you took the 37,000 deaths or 27,000 deaths and you multiplied it even by a fraction of that, even being very conservative, saying, okay, most of the deaths were not reported, we won't count them. But even with Dr. Rose, I believe she did 40%. It came to several hundred thousand actual deaths. So when we add in the actual injuries, because once again, doctors are refusing to acknowledge that the injuries they're seeing, including permanent injuries, are from the vaccine. And so there's been a major effort to downplay the deaths and injuries. If we had the full and honest count, it would be astronomical, far exceeding your figures. There is Edward Dowd, who is not a physician or a scientist, but rather he is an economist, and he worked for BlackRock. He ran one of their divisions with billions of dollars, and he found an anomaly in insurance actuaries. Now, these are not guesses, and these are mandatory, meaning you have a life insurance, you die, for whatever reason, you have to be paid. So those are accurate figures, and he has found that only since the vaccines, because he went back to 2016, 17, 18, 19, and 20, and you didn't have this large, excessive, unexpected death rate. But once the vaccines were implemented, in some areas the vaccine or the adverse events, the unexpected deaths were as high as 40%. And let's just say in a normal year, the United States has somewhere around 1.8 million people die of all causes. And now suddenly you have these huge spikes, but you don't have them in the countries around the world that did not mandate the vaccines. You do not have them in the world where they only had one, maybe two vaccines, but the boosters, you start to really see the spikes, including and especially in Israel. So when you look at Sweden, that did not engage in a lockdown, just gave recommendations, and you saw what they did, unfortunately, with their senior citizens. They denied therapy to the senior citizens, actually assisted them in assisted suicide. And because they felt that if it was going to be a pandemic, they wanted all their medical attention and beds and hospitals for the younger people who still had a life ahead of them. Philosophically, I can understand, okay, if you've got two groups of people, one that are at death, and their average age is 81, and they're sick, and they're in either hospice care, nursing home, assisted living centers, and you have someone 30 years old who's just beginning their life as such, which one do you want to have saved if you only have a limited number of resources? So I understand that their rationale came from, let's do what is pragmatic and practical instead of what is spiritual and humanistic. I would have a different point of view on that. However, look at their survival rate. Look at the deaths outside of that one spike, and that was because of people dying who were not getting their treatments. The same could be said in the United States. The United States government and the mainstream media has refused to take an honest, objective epidemiological examination of how many people died because they didn't get cancer treatment, diabetes treatment, heart disease treatment, obesity treatment, dementia treatment that could have kept them alive much longer. Because it was denied them, once again, putting it all together. So we're looking at figures that are absolute ridiculous. We're looking at ultra-conservative figures when the actual figures would be so staggering that you would have to say, how did we get all this wrong? Who was responsible? To your statement that you want all the attorney generals, only those red states are going to have the attorney generals interested in this. And I see, I could be wrong, but I see because of crime, outrageous crime. I just watched a video yesterday of people pulling into their homes and people running in behind them when the gates were closing with a gun and threatening to shoot them if they didn't turn over the keys to the car and carjacking. Now, this is not out on the street. or at a stoplight. This is in people's homes, and that's going epidemic right now, but not everywhere. And also look at the poverty, look at the homelessness, look at the crisis, look at the decay of major cities, Los Angeles and San Francisco and Chicago, once beautiful and thriving metropolises, and now the people are moving out. In fact, they're moving to Florida. I just drove from where I am at, Southwest Florida, up to look at some RVs and for the future, and I passed about 10,000 new apartment units being constructed. I've just bumper to bumper for 20 miles up the road. I didn't see that 6 months ago. So people are moving to Florida. They're moving to Texas. They're moving to South. They're moving to places where they're not afraid of the government and mandates. They're not afraid of the school system teaching, you know, critical race theory and other garbage. They're not afraid of being told you either take a vaccine or we're going to put you in a medical detention camp and force you to do so. New York is one. California is a second. Oregon is a third. So I see that the best effort is in those states where people are, and it doesn't matter their political allegiance, it's they want to get their freedoms back. Now add into your scenario, which you just articulated, the fact that we have artificial intelligence now that is taking away millions of jobs are going to be lost now and in the next couple of years from artificial intelligence and automation, transhumanism, and then bring in all of the digital currencies where you can't have your own cash or gold or silver. You have to have what the government gives you, which is an account and which you can withdraw from or put into. But the government will actually control it. If they don't like your social scores, if they don't like what you're doing politically, they can freeze your account. Look at Trudeau. He did exactly that in Canada. And so you don't have control over your money. And then you don't have control over your life. You can travel. No, you can't. And now they want to put in mandating new vaccine requirements. And Bill Gates is now coming up with some kind of, and Anthony Fauci has just joined a firm where they're coming up with nasal sprays. Yeah, that didn't work well with Tamiflu, did it? But again, well, same cast of characters. So could you address all of these I just mentioned in a larger context, that we're not just talking about some stupid scientists who are greedy and making bad decisions. We're looking at a crisis around the world in all of our different dimensions. Please address those.
Right. Well, the nasal approach would be probably the worst approach you could do, although it would be very nice and easy to convince people that's not nearly as invasive. Because, you know, one of the problems have to do with these genetic vaccines or the cryogenic effects and crossing into the brain. So you please put it right next to the brain and inject it right away. That should facilitate adverse events in a much shorter period of time. Look, the gain of function research and the CRISPR technology that's been going on is basically manipulating the human genome, people's DNA, with the express purpose of figuring out what makes healthy, longer living humans. Well, to do that, to carry out that type of research requires either a very long period of time, which isn't a real advantage if you're living right now and you're one of the people trying to promote this, or you need a lot of volunteers or a way to make certain that you have a lot of volunteers. Well, we now have seen we have a lot of volunteers where people were put into a state of fear and told that these genetic vaccines would prevent them from getting infected from a virus, a series of viruses that were man-made. The truth is no vaccine, genetic or otherwise, has ever prevented people from getting infected or from transmitting the infection. That's simply not how they work. The premise is to expose somebody to something to make, in the end, memory cells so that when you get infected, I don't know how many times I can say this, when you get infected, you should have a shorter response time, which means you must get infected for any potential benefit from a vaccine to be seen. But these genetic vaccines are focusing on changing human DNA, and they trace back Lamarckian genetics back to the 1940s, back to Nazi Germany. This is the work they were doing, part of the work they were doing in concentration camps. They weren't sophisticated enough then to be doing it with genetic vaccines or CRISPR. because we didn't have that technology then, but it's the same bloodline of people carrying it out. If you look at the research over 40 years and whatever it takes for them to manipulate people to get people to respond. And we saw how well it worked with in January of 2019, we saw how rapidly people would give up their freedoms with the promise of a protection in the response of the American public and the response of people around the world. It's only when people demand accountability from these criminals and say, we're not going to continue to do what you want us to do just because you want us to do it. I know there's been a fleeing of people from states like California. I lived there for 7.5 years. I came to Dallas. I also know that there's a huge response in California. We're watching the 10letters.org campaign, and the number of people in California sending letters demanding accountability to the Attorney General in California are equal to the numbers in Texas. It's California and Texas tied for the lead, followed by Florida and Illinois. So people in every state are demanding accountability, and you and I both know that these elected attorney generals and governors want their job. No matter what else they're doing, their primary responsibility is they want to get reelected, and they will bend to the demands of the American people if the American people will insist upon it. And you know me well enough, I think, from our interviews, that if the Attorney General of California and Illinois will not hold these criminals accountable, when the attorney generals of Texas and Florida and Utah and the other places do hold them accountable, I will be right out there pointing out the names and the addresses of the attorney generals who are too cowardly to do what they are told to do by the American people whom they work for.
Well said. I'm trying to look at the effects of the pandemic and how easy it was to manipulate. And now they're controlling all social media. Matt Taibbi was given the first task. He's been joined with another couple of journalists to go through thousands and thousands of these emails and under cross-examination at the House hearings. They stated that virtually anything that challenges the prevailing view on vaccines or COVID or anything else is scrubbed, and that the FBI, Homeland Security, all governmental agencies were there acting as if Twitter and Facebook and Google and Wikipedia were all just extensions of the government's propaganda machine. So if you were a doctor and you came out with something as you've come out with, then you were censored. You were deplatformed. You had everything taken away. So you might have the truth, but you can't get anyone to hear the truth except on other platforms such as this. Now, so this is a big issue because it's not just on the vaccines. It's about who controls the message on everything, like the message on Ukraine, with the same people who wouldn't look at Hunter Biden's laptop where the evidence was there of collusion and pay to play, or the same people who say we've got to fund Ukraine and try to get into a war, direct hot war with Russia. Even the actor, Sean Penn, you know, is not against nuclear confrontation. Well, you know, let him be where the first nuclear confrontation occurs and see if he's still that supportive. And then you have the media harping on behalf of those in power, but never challenging them. So if it's a banking system like the banks that just failed in California, there are two banks that failed, and the big bank out there that lost, I believe it was $171 billion, it's bailed out today, and the other bank is bailed out. Everybody made whole. Why? Because they knew if they didn't, every bank in America would have everyone rushing to take their money out, like this was the scene out of It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. You know, everybody runs on the bank. Indeed, the banks outside of credit unions, the banks are broke. Our entire economy is broke. We are bankrupt. You know that. I know that. It's not just the $32 or $33 trillion of interest that we owe. It is the $232 trillion in our unfunded entitlements and state debt, local debt, personal debt. So when you got a whole nation that is bankrupt except a small group that control everything, like BlackRock and Vanguard, then you have people who are in crisis who are living with this angst every day. What am I going to do? And it's getting worse for them and better for the people in power. So the people in power are telling you, take the vaccine. The people with no power are saying, okay. And so all we do is bread and circuses. Guess what is the number one rising reality show in America? And it's everywhere. Slapping. And slapping as hard as you can. And you see people being knocked out and getting concussions. You can cause brain injury. You can dislodge the eye in the socket. You can cause enormous damage. But Americans want something that's extraordinarily violent. So I'm saying, just for myself, I don't speak for anyone else, how in the world are we going to get the majority of people, or at least 15%, which is what you need to cause an action of the public, to stop watching people get slapped and distracted with stupid reality shows or the Academy Awards and other of these vanity, narcissistic shows, to pay attention to what's important right in front of them? Because the problems in the banking system, the problems in the genetic engineering and artificial intelligence, these are all controlled by the same group of people. And yet we're not looking at it as if it's a whole. We're looking at one piece there or one piece there. That's a mistake. That said, and then you can comment upon whether you agree or disagree with me, but I'd like for you to go through the lies that we were told about COVID, the big lies, the lies that are now irrefutable that they were lies, because now 3 years later we have the hard scientific or exculpatory evidence to prove that these were all lies. And if you found those lies and others found those lies, then why is it not a single member of the media has found a single lie? Not one member. You're talking about over 1,000 people, highly educated, very resource connected, and not one single lie have they found. Not one single discrepancy have they found. So that tells you why you should never be watching them on reading their papers, walk away from Wikipedia, walk away from all these. But they're not going to do it. People are addicted to their pleasures and their comforts. And they're looking at like this is a virtual reality. And they think that it's a virtual reality seeing a 700-foot tsunami coming at them. And they'll turn the channel. It's a real 700-foot tsunami when you add up everything that we're going to be hit by and are being hit by. And even those who've already been hit and are damaged and injured, some have even said, one doctor in particular, he went back and vaccinated his second son, even though the first son and he had adverse reactions. You're thinking, what the hell are you thinking about? Why didn't you do your homework? Oh, yeah. I forgot. You know, narcissists rarely believe that they have any information outside of their own belief system that will challenge the pre-existing system. Would you address these, please?
Well, I think the first reality is that they can no longer turn the channel. They have watched death and injuries to people around them. The people that are compelled that they're not going to change, they're not going to change. They won't change. I mean, there are people that still claim the Holocaust didn't occur, right? And we're not going to change that. The point is to hold these criminals accountable. And the problem that the criminals cannot cover the eyes to are the death and the injuries. You know, Americans, when they don't become affected, people, when they don't become affected, have a tendency to ignore something until it lands at home, until they lose a loved one or they have a maimed close person connected with them. And those numbers that we talked about earlier, those are real numbers. Those aren't covered up numbers. Even the numbers that they want to play, and I use their numbers to be conservative so I can prove that in a court of law. Those numbers are so compelling in and of themselves that Americans are affected. I have watched the transition in people as I talk to them on in presentations in front of crowds or on interviews like this, the recognition by people that something is wrong. I frequently talk to people who have questions, and after talking with them, they will say, I knew there was something wrong. I just didn't know what it was. They need the evidence. They need the proof. And unfortunately, many times they need the pain. And the pain is watching people you know die and suffer and have it presented to you so that you can't escape it. I mean, this is typical of human behavior, that if we can avoid a conflict, we'll try to. But when it's brought home, when your family members die or are maimed by this, you will see an increasing number of people who no longer are willing to go quietly into that good night. And their voices are resonating together now, along with other voices that share common understandings of what's been going on in these lives. We know, is COVID-19 a bioweapon? And 10letters.org and Crimes Against Humanity Tour and so many other sites are laying out again and again and again information so that every day there are new people becoming aware of the fact that the United States government intentionally and knowingly participated in gain-of-function research. Then you can watch Anthony Fauci sit in front of an interviewer. Look, that MS,
CNN
interview you played, CNN interview that you played earlier, that's evidence for trial. That is evidence. Thank you, CNN, for reporting that, because his perjury in that interview is going to show up someday in a court trial. And it's only going to take one grand jury calling for the indictment of these people for mainstream media to wake up, because Anthony Fauci and the others will call, please come to our aid. Yes, please come to their aid and expose the lies of these individuals. You can tell him getting upset because he's now calling people like me the crazies, right? Crazy. Yeah, I look crazy. There's nothing unsubstantiated about what you're hearing about the money for the gain of function research. There's nothing unsubstantiated about the evidence that shows that.
Now, here's an issue that I think is very important. It was only recently, about 9 months ago, that in a congressional hearing under oath, Gloria Nuland, undersecretary at the State Department, acknowledged that we had, I believe she said, 23 gain-of-function biological labs in Ukraine. Well, then it was over. No one asked any additional questions. And I would have said, why do we have them in the most corrupt and dangerous place imaginable? And why are they there? What is their purpose? Why do you need 23 labs just in one country? We found out now there are labs all over the world. What is the purpose of these? And if you're trying to say that you want to enhance a vaccine so that if there's a super pathogen, it will be able to deal with it, then why is it you have patents going clear back to 2000 on different viruses, including the coronavirus, and that the patents on those have been shown and proven, and no one's connecting, okay, why would you patent something that didn't exist? And then suddenly you have a vector, a virus, and now you're genetically altering it. And now before there's even a call that we from the World Health Organization that we have a pandemic, you have a vaccine for it. And we found this also was true in China. In fact, it was just last week that the former head of the CDC, under questioning, under oath, said that he was in constant communication with the CDC director of China. And that when he asked for the details, the information, his counterpart said, the government won't allow me to share that with you. All right? That should have been a big red flag. He said, but I want to send a group in of 10 or 20 scientists so we can get to the bottom of this. No, they refused that. And then they started clearing everything. But prior to that, there was already a vaccine. How in the world do you have a vaccine for a disease that has not yet occurred? And no one asked that question.
Yeah, well,
that's the facts. I mean,
we talk about it in this book. In 2006, the Chinese published a paper that was a virus that they put together using four viruses: HIV, hepatitis C, what they identified as SARS-CoV-1, and what they identified as SARS-CoV-2 in 2006. The Chinese published the paper. It's in the book. It's very clear. Mainstream media is now exposing what's going on. They may not like it, but they love to cover congressional hearings. And it's the elected people being demanded by the American people, the senators in Congress, U.S. Congress, and it's the action, that same action that will occur through 10 letters to get the attorney generals in our states to act, that is exposing this. Mainstream media loves to be there to see the attention, and mainstream media will make certain it's there to when this really comes out, because mainstream media badly wants to tell you they're doing their job and they're covering it. And it's like everybody else in history that was on the wrong side, when they see the tide turn, and the tide is turning, they want to be there and say, see, we were right up there covering. And alternative media like yourself and the other people who've been covering this will have the ability to say, we warned of this. And you will have your day. This is your period of vindication. It is just the beginning. There is a lot to be done. These criminals that developed these gain-of-function biological viral weapons, and they emulated those and codified them and put them in these genetic biological viral weapon vaccines. Their interference with the practice of medicine, their interference with the practice of science, their manipulation of the people. This is coming home. This tide has turned. This is not the time now for people to sit back and go, I'm going to let somebody else do it. This is the time for Americans to go to 10letters.org and inundate these attorney generals and governors with demand letters for criminal indictments. Now is the time. You can see them afraid. They don't like people like you or the rest talking out, but you have been doing it, and the other people have been doing it long enough. And people like McCullough and many of the other physicians and McCarran and Rixey and Huff and Diner, myself, have been talking long enough, exposing long enough. Dr. Pierre Corey has been exposing long enough what's been going on that they can no longer hide. And if the American people will roll up their sleeves and go to 10letters.org and then support what we're doing, support what the other doctors are doing, support what you and the other media folks are doing against the tide, we will win the day. It will be the result of the people standing up. And it is by no small credit to people like you.
One last question. When we look at just the facts, no emotion, no politics, and we say, was the establishment, Fauci and all the other people, Collins, were they right about masks? No, they weren't. The Cochrane Group proved that. Were they right about protecting you if you got the vaccines? No. Of going to hospital? No. Of dying? No. The vaccine protected none of the above. And that was the whole reason for doing it. Were they right about the PCR test being an accurate measurement for whether or not you have the COVID virus and that its lethality? The answer is no, they didn't. Were they right when it came to quarantining all people and closing businesses? No, they weren't. But somehow they justified that you must understand that a liquor store, the virus can't live in a liquor store or in the air. And so go to a liquor store, and the virus cannot infect you once you take your mask off and sit there for an hour and a half in a restaurant. Now, it can infect your servers. They're all wearing masks, and it can stay in the air, but it's not going to go near you if you paid $35 for a meal. Now, you can't go to a small store because it's going to affect everyone, but you can go to Walmart and have 500 people in there. It won't affect them. They were wrong about everything. They were wrong about the measurements of how the 3-foot distance, the 6-foot distance circles on the floor. They were wrong about it. They were wrong about waiting until a vaccine. They were wrong about the other medicines that could have saved lives. At least 900,000 Americans would be alive today if they took Dr. Pierre Corey's work and others who said get the treatments early. And they were wrong about every single thing. So why in the world should we trust anything they say going forward? We shouldn't. Why should they remain in power? They shouldn't. And why shouldn't they be held accountable as you or I would be held accountable? And in time, they will. Are those accurate or inaccurate statements I just made?
I would agree with everything you said, I would, the only comment I would make is on the PCR test. Kerry Mullis came up with a very good test. Had they used the PCR test the way it was designed to be used, it would actually, it accurately exposes the crimes. It actually, the PCR test, when done accurately, exposes the crimes and shows that the viruses that we call SARS-CoV-2 is actually SARS-CoV-RS-SHC-014, the one that is also called SARS-CoV Urbani, that Barrick resurrected in 2003. It's also SARS-CoV-MA-15, and it's SARS-CoV-RS-3367. When the PCR test is done properly, it correctly identifies those three gain-of-function biological viruses as being the same thing as SARS-CoV-2. And I've told people that if you use Fleming method incorrectly, it doesn't make my test inaccurate. It puts it on you for doing the test wrong. And the fact that Kerry Mullis specified in his patent 20 cycles and that's it, and otherwise you get background noise, the fact that he put that in the patent and they didn't do it, that just shows more criminality and stupidity on their part.
And what I was referring to was the fact that Fauci said above 33 cycles, it would be all garbage. And they were doing 40 to 44 cycles. That's what I'm referring to. It was a garbage test.
Right.
And therefore,
let's admit Dr. Fauci is not what I consider the epitome of science. In fact, since I've known him, which is back when I was a medical student and HIV came into existence, I am yet to see a single one published research project paper that he has ever contributed that was significant to the field of infectious disease.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you being with us today, and hopefully people will take your advice, go to your site, read down, sign the petitions, get them to your state attorney general and your governors. I hope that that occurs. If we get 15%, about around 45 to 50 million Americans to do it, then this whole game changes. Dr. Fleming, nice again to see you. I look forward to our next conversation.
My pleasure. Thank you for the invitation. 10letters.org.
I'm Gary Nall. This is the Progressive Commentary Hour. Thank you all for watching and have a nice day.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop right on.
WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting is on Sunday, March 19th at 1 p.m. And you are invited to attend. The CAB or CAB is an advisory board which reviews programming and other station policies. It represents the diverse views and interests of the communities WBAI serves. If you want to attend the meeting, you can join by teleconference at 619-309-1058. And the PIN number is 641-711. Everyone is invited to call in and join the meeting, and we're happy that more people are now attending CAB meetings. Once again, the call-in number is 619-309-1058, and the PIN number 641-711. We hope that you'll be able to attend. That's the Community Advisory Board meeting, WBAI, March 19th, Sunday, 1 p.m.
$10 a month. It's the price of a gigabyte of data for that iPad you never use. It's two overpriced coffees you ordered when you forgot to look at the menu. It's your overzealous attempts to meet the credit card minimum at the bodega on the corner. But $10 a month could be a lot more. Become a BAI buddy and commit to a recurring monthly donation to WBAI. This money will help us continue to broadcast the thoughts and perspectives of the progressive public.